Chapter 10, The Mall. 3 long weeks went by. Fergal looked. Charlotte searched. They both kept on hoping. Neither of them could pass a shop without dashing in to see if there was a bargain basket on display, and, if so, whether there were any unlabeled tins in it. But it was Fergal who found it, in a supermarket in the shopping mall on the far side of town. His father had been delegated to take Fergal there in order to buy some new school trousers. He could have got new trousers from a shop just around the corner, but no, it had to be Timmerson's department store. Shirts, trousers, socks, underwear, they all had to come out of Timmerson's, or apparently they simply weren't worth wearing. Once they had bought the trousers, Fergal's dad suggested that they take a little look in the golf equipment shop for 5 minutes. Fergal knew from bitter experience that 5 minutes in the golf shop invariably turned out to be 45 minutes in the golf shop. So he pleaded with his father to let him wander around the mall on his own. "Well, the shops are all enclosed, so I suppose you can't come to much harm. And you've got your mobile, haven't you?" "Yes, Dad." "Well, keep it turned on, so I can ring you if I want to." "Okay, Dad." "And no buying chocolate bars on the sly." "No, Dad. And no buying any golf clubs on the sly." "Sorry, what was that, Fergal? I missed that." "Oh, nothing, Dad." "Okay, just half an hour then, and I'll meet you back here at the entrance to the golf shop." "Okay, Dad." "Right. Oh, and Fergal, I know, Dad, don't talk to anyone and don't go off with strangers, even if they say that your dad sent them." "Exactly." "Okay." Mr. Bamfield watched his son go, wondering if he was doing the right thing, letting him wander off on his own. He kept watching as Fergal walked on along the concourse of the mall. He felt a pang of sadness, as if Fergal had been deprived of his freedom and a proper childhood by a world in which cars and the fear of strangers were every parent's nightmare. No, he would be all right, he decided. He had to have a little independence. He was getting older. Growing up, he was entitled to a bit of independence, and even a few secrets, as long as they weren't too ghastly. He turned his back and went on into the golf shop. "Good morning, sir," the salesman said, "and what can we do for you?" Fergal's dad had the feeling that he might be spending some money. It wasn't always easy to find the bargain basket in supermarkets, especially when there were great vast barns with places the size of aeroplane hangars. Sometimes even the assistants didn't know where the bargain basket was, or even if there was a bargain basket. "Sorry, I only work here at weekends, I'm afraid. I'm at school the rest of the time." Fergal wondered if, when he got older, he might get a weekend job in a supermarket, filling up the shelves perhaps. He'd like a job like that. He'd get first pickings then, when it came to tins, and get paid for it as well. Of course, in some countries, children had to work. They never got to go to school. They never had days off or holidays. They just sat and worked, maybe carpets or shoes, slaves rather than employees. It was a hard life for some children. "Excuse me, is there a bargain basket here, please?" Fergal had got fed up with wandering down the aisles and had decided to ask for assistance. He thought that the plump lady in the overalls would be the best person to ask. "Over there, love, by the sugar. Counting the pennies, are we? Looking for some broken biscuits and things like that? Used to do the same myself once when I was your age." "There you go." Fergal thanked her and went to the bargain basket, but there was nothing of any interest to him, so he went back out into the main concourse of the mall. He glanced at his watch. He now only had 10 minutes left behind his allotted 30 minutes of freedom were up. His dad would be ringing him on the mobile soon, saying, "Fergal, where are you? I thought we had an arrangement. I thought we'd agreed. Well, no excuses. You get here now." There was time for one more quick search. He hurried along to a small, seedy-looking supermarket. It was plainly in decline, being forced out of business by glossier, gleamier places. "Excuse me, is there a bargain basket?" "It's all bargains here, dear." Fergal must have looked so crestfallen, the lady he had spoken to gave him a smile. "Most customers would be glad to hear that, dear. Not disappointed," she said. Then she pointed him towards the till. "Over there, love, on your way out." Fergal made his way to the bargain basket. He rummaged around in it. This supermarket didn't seem to sell many ordinary brands. They were all unknown to him. They had names like Nebeck's Nutty Spread or Colin Pecker's Crispy Corn Flakes, but the box had remained very similar to the more famous cornflakes Fergal had at home. As he rummaged through, he realised that he was not alone. Other bargain hunters were also at work, two elderly ladies and a man with a drop on the end of his nose. Fergal saw, to his dismay, that one of the old ladies was clutching a tin. A tin without a label. But she didn't want it. She had only picked it up out of the basket in order to criticise it to her friend. Look at that! No label! Whatever next? I never buy them with no labels. You don't know what's in them. A bargain's not a bargain if you've got no use for it. It's just a waste of money. And anyway, it feels like it's empty, this one. Feels like there's hardly anything in it. Just half a pea or something. She dropped the tin back into the bargain basket. It made a hollow, empty clank. It feels like there's hardly anything in it. Just half a pea or something. Fergal grabbed the tin before anyone else could. The man with the drop on the end of his nose was also looking at the tin with curiosity. But his curiosity wasn't quick enough. Not as fast as Fergal's. Got it! He held it right. Tight. Rattled it. The lady had been right. It was light, all but empty, with just a little something, a little special, mysterious something locked away inside. 20 pence, love. He paid. As he did, his phone rang. Hello, Dad. Where are you? You're late. I'm just coming. Fergal got his change and ran as fast as he could, the length of the concourse, and didn't stop till he got to the entrance of the gold shop. I see you bought something. Hi, Dad. Just a tin for my collection. Judging from the bags by his feet, Mr. Banfield had bought a few things for his golf club collection as well. Come on then, let's go home. They drove back to the house. Fergal sat holding the bag with his new trousers in it, and on top of that, his tin. He felt a warm glow of pride, a sense of achievement, as if, after extensive searching and much digging, he had finally unearthed buried treasure. As soon as they got home, he would ring Charlotte. He wouldn't open the tin until she was there. They would open it together. This one might contain a vital clue, some small but essential key to unlock the mysteries of the tins. Come round here if you like, Charlotte said down the phone. Can you get a lift? It's not far, I'll walk. Will they let you? I think so. About half an hour then? Okay. Right. Fergal hung up, then went to find his father. He'd be the one to ask. His mother would have doubts and worries. His father would probably let him do it. Dad... He was out in the gardening, practising swings with his new golf club. Mm-hmm. Can I walk round to Charlotte's? On your own? I was all right in the mall. It's only 10 minutes to get there, 15 at the most. Oh, I suppose so. If you take your phone, I dare say you're old enough. In fact, when I was your age, only Fergal didn't have time for the reminiscences just then, interesting as they might be. Okay, Dad. See you later. What are you doing with that tin? Taking it with me. Thought I might show it to Charlotte. But Fergal had gone. His father swiped at the grass with his golf club. Had he done things like that at Fergal's age? Had weird hobbies? Maybe he had. Yes, maybe he had at that. It was just a few tins anyway. Just a few boring old tins from the bargain basket. What harm could there be in them? Listen, Fergal shook it next to his ear. Let me. She reached and shook the tin herself. You think it's another bit of the body? If it is, it's a small one. Where's the opener? Here, I bought it up earlier, just after you phoned. Go on then, you open it. I found it so you can open it. That's right. Charlotte first went to the door of her room to make sure that they wouldn't be disturbed. She looked out, closed the door softly, then returned to the tin. She took the opener and began to open it. Well, hold on. She tipped the tin's contents out onto her desk. Is it a bit of a body? No, it's a piece of paper. Charlotte showed it to Fergal. It was a small piece of paper, folded over upon itself until it could be folded no more. It looked grubby and grey. Let's see. Fergal picked up the pellet of paper and began to unfold it. He flattened it out on the desk and smothered it with his hand. Then suddenly that hand began to tremble slightly and his face took on a corpse-like pallor. There's a The words wouldn't come out. Fergal swallowed and tried again. There's a message. Charlotte stared at him, her eyes wide and curiously magnified behind the panes of her glasses. What does it say? Read it. Charlotte peered down at the grubby piece of paper. Written upon its crumbled and crimpled surface, with what must surely have been a blunt stub of pencil, was one solitary word. The hand that had written it seemed childish, or certainly uneducated, a hand which had not had much experience or practice at writing. The message had been printed, not in capitals, but in lowercase letters. They were not, however, joined up, just written out separately. There were four of them, one vowel and three consonants. They spelled the word help.